either one of us now be gotten a Dewey Decimal System or card catalog joke when you're in a social situation?
I haven't gotten anything like that yet. Actually.
See, they're giving off retail vibes and people aren't pulling that joke on them. You are listening to WREK Atlanta, and this is Lost in the Stacks, the Research Library Rock and Roll Radio Show. I'm Charlie Bennett in the virtual studio yet again with Marley Givens and Fred Rasko. Each week on Lost in the Stacks, we pick a theme and then use it to create a mix of music and library talk. Whichever you're here for, we hope you dig it.
Today's show is called Recruiting from Retail. And you know, I've wanted to talk about this for a while, ever since I saw some folks give a presentation on this topic last year.
So consider the strengths and skills that come from working in service or retail jobs. Don't those skills seem like they'd be useful in an academic library setting?
People who have handled busy restaurants, crowded stores, and unpredictable customers might be exactly what we need in the new library. I mean, I used to work the circulation desk alone at night, and some nights were like tending bar in a joint that was out of everything except whiskey, tonic, and cherries.
That sounds like a fun reference desk. Okay, so which resources in the library are represented by the cherries?
Printer paper.
Charlie and I spoke to Tina Erickson, Jessica Gloom, and Max Maller from the University of Chicago Library. Tina, Jessica, and Max all brought a wealth of transferable skills from the retail industry to their current positions in acquisition services, where they found a culture that better matches their values, interests, and passions.
Our songs today are about being patient, work-life balance, and appreciating the true value of people and libraries. Sustaining library acquisition services going forward is going to require a variety of skills, experiences, and perspectives to all be brought together.
So let's start with a song about pulling ourselves together from past unsustainable behavior to effectively meet what the future may hold. This is Wasn't Tomorrow Wonderful by The Waitresses, Akron, Ohio, right here on Lost in the Stacks. This is Lost in the Stacks, and we are speaking with Tina Erickson, Jessica Gloam, and Max Mahler from the University of Chicago Library. To start with, we explored their journey from retail work to library acquisitions.
So I'll start with Jessica, since she's the top right on my screen. What were you doing before you came to the wonderful world of libraries?
I was working as an assistant manager in a local chain of food and supplement stores in the Chicago area, and really trying to find out what type of career path would really fit with my values. So along the way, I decided that I wanted to work at a large institution that was making a huge impact in the world. And I came upon the University of Chicago. I personally thought the atmosphere was something that aligned a lot with my own values and what I was looking for in a career. So I went to the website, found a job that was open in the library, and the rest is history.
And do you feel like you knew what you were getting into now that you've done it?
Of course, I didn't know what I was getting into, but who really does, right? Who knows exactly what they're getting into? You know, I had my impressions of things. But I would say that as far as the unexpected, what was expected was that, it was expected for folks to work hard, to be really intellectually driven, to have a sense of, service to the community. But what I think was a pleasantly unexpected was just the amazing community that I found.
And I see Tina kind of nodding along. So Tina, did you have a similar entry or what was your story?
The community aspect of it was something that I found pleasantly surprised by. My experience getting here was a little bit different though. I originally actually came to Chicago to be a student at the University of Chicago. So I had been a student here for 5 years and then I left and joined the food and beverage industry afterwards. And so I was involved in management as well when I moved into that industry. One of the things that I really loved about it that I found actually kind of lacking in my sector in academia was a very human aspect of the work that we did, and something that I thought was, you know, so fun, like really fun working in, you know, in food service is getting to work with people, you know, like when you are in the middle of like a breakfast rush, you have like very little space behind your counter, like you get very cozy and very comfortable with people. Quickly being part of a team that gets along really well together, you know, and kind of being able to cultivate that was something that I really loved. And moving out of that, you know, for me was largely for personal reasons. Like I got married, I had a kid very quickly. And so, you know, I realized that I wanted something that was going to give me a little bit better work-life balance. And so, you know, opening a cafe at 4:30 in the morning is not really conducive to raising a newborn. So I thought about, you know, where I was happiest, when I was happiest, you know, in my working life, and the desire to move to the library has always been something I wanted to pursue. And I didn't know if I was really able to do that because I didn't go to library school. When I was looking for alternative career paths and I saw that position opened up here at the library, I really jumped on it and just said, you know, if someone there is willing to take a chance on someone coming out of retail, then maybe that's the right move for me. And so that's kind of how I wound up back at the university. So
Tina, your example of the very human side of work that you enjoy, it sounds like the opposite of the standard idea of the introverted librarian.
It does. And in some ways it is, you know, the work, you know, we work, all three of us work in acquisitions. And so, you know, we don't have a lot of face-to-face time with our users, but I do think that coming out of retail, coming out of food service, that I think that there's a very real understanding that the work that we do behind the scenes does ultimately directly tie in with our user experience. For me, you know, when I remember when I was applying, I think even in my interview, talking about how, you know, in retail, like I worked with tea and coffee, and those for me are very precious commodities. And, you know, but books are also very precious, that at the end of the day, we also have users that and customers, you know, essentially that we serve. And so being able to really contribute to user experience in the library, I found to be something that was very easily translatable from, you know, from a completely different industry. You know, at the end of the day, we want to have a healthy and robust collection, but, you know, we exist to serve our users, and our users are really anyone who steps through the door, whether they be staff or whether they be students, faculty, you know, or even members of the public. So, you know, that was something that I just really wanted to keep chasing in whatever job I chose. Luckily, the library has been actually very good for that.
Max, what do you remember from seeing that first job opening and deciding to go for it?
Well, I remember thinking right off the bat, I bet I would get to sit down more often at this job than I do at the bookstore, which is where I used to work. I loved working at the bookstore and I was very happy there for a long time. And really, I saw moving to the library as a natural progression from what I'd been doing for several years. And it was even, ironically, on the same street, the bookstore I used to work at, a secondhand bookstore in the University of Chicago neighborhood. You can almost see the library from the front entrance of the bookstore. And I was also, like Tina, a student at the University of Chicago, and I continued using my precious alumni access at the library during my stint at the bookstore. And I like to think that I arrived on my first day in the acquisitions department, a kind of well-rounded library super user who had been given through a wonderful dispensation of fate, the keys to the kingdom to start to contribute to this amazing universe of knowledge and exchange of ideas that the library represents for the student body and faculty.
So I don't think we can let you get away without asking, did you read more when you were working at a bookstore or now that you're working at a library?
That's a great question. I read more contemporary things at the bookstore. And what I read had more to do with stuff I was seeing every day, where we would get a big fiction collection in, or somebody would have a lot of Civil War material and you'd grab something off the top of the pile that looked interesting. So I guess contemporary isn't really right. What I read was had more to do with stuff that crossed my path sort of randomly. So I was more of an eclectic reader at the bookstore. At the library, I feel right on the cutting edge of all of these different fields where we're ordering things that are currently in discussion in every field imaginable. We haven't been physically in the building full time for almost 18 months now, but there's a big portable shelf that moves in and out of our unit with all the new arrivals stickered and ready to go out to the stacks. And I go over there and pick out some new monographs and things. So I'll be reading more scholarly material on a regular basis as a library employee than I did at the bookstore, where what I gravitated to was more random, had more to do with what happened to be on top of the pile on any given day.
We'll be back with more about recruiting from retail after a music set.
File this set under HD4904.25.A74.
You just heard Sittin' on My Sofa by the Kinks. And we started our set with 5 o'clock World by the Vogues. Songs about keeping work and life in the proper balance. This is Lost in the Stacks, and we're back with Tina Erickson, Jessica Gloom, and Max Mahler from the University of Chicago Library Acquisition Services Department. Tina is currently the Receiving and Rapid Cataloging Supervisor, and Jessica and Max work on the ordering side. Jessica is Supervisor Library Orders, and Max is Acquisitions Orders Assistant. We asked each of them to tell us more about what was strange or challenging about working in libraries and how they leveraged their retail experience for success.
Now that you've kind of been in the library for a while, can you remember being new and what was like something weird that you maybe had to get used to? And I'll start with Tina, who's smiling at that.
I think the weirdest thing to get used to for me was, I think, just the cultural shift. There's a lot of technical skills here that are required that you obviously don't get coming from retail, but most of those skills can be taught. The culture here is very unique. I knew a bit about it because I was a student here, but coming in as a staff member is obviously still quite a different shift. And I think that there being, you know, there's a pretty diverse group of people who work here. Some people have been here for upwards of 50 years. There are some people who, you know, have never had any other kind of job experience. They've been here since they graduated from school. And there is definitely a very strong sense of library culture. Yeah, I mean, like, there's definitely a learning curve there into a new place with a very, very specific, you know, set of people with a very specific set of skills. And to try to kind of find your place in that and to kind of navigate those relationships that have really been here for decades. In some cases, I think that was, like, for me, the biggest kind of learning curve.
You said something about what can be taught. What do you think can't be taught about retail work or library work or both?
I think that, you know, it's funny because when we go hiring for people and you know, we have, you know, job postings that are now coming up, and things that I specifically look for in people are these things that really can't be taught, because I know that we can do a lot through training. And some of those things that I think that people really have in spades in retail, as well as in libraries, but in retail I've seen it, is a very strong sense of resiliency and flexibility. in retail, like you never know what's going to happen when somebody walks through the door, and it can be a very, you know, very unpredictable, very volatile sometimes environment. And the library is much less so. However, being able to have somebody already kind of have a sense of that and be able to pivot, be able to kind of bounce when something comes up. I don't know that that's something that's teachable. I think it's something that people, you know, are able to really cultivate on their own and come in with, or they don't. And I see, you know, it translates well with things like having a sense of urgency. If we have a patron request, or if we have a special collections item or something that comes in that really needs to be bumped to the top of the queue, and being able to turn around and reprioritize and kind of think on the spot is something that I can't teach. Maybe someone else can, but that's not what I'm here for. But I love people who are able to do that, and those are the types of people that I want to work with.
Jessica is someone who came for the culture and stayed for the job. Has it met your expectations, or has there been anything challenging in making that transition to the library?
Well, I think that the one thing that I found most challenging was from going to a position that had aspects of it in corporate supply chain management, really, and inventory management. The goal is to, of course, provide an excellent customer experience, but also to make profit to an industry that was not for profit, in which material circulated. And, you know, once it leaves the shelf, it comes back instead of being leaving forever. And that was actually something that really, like, I think profoundly struck me maybe a year or two into the job, that when we're purchasing material, you know, when we're acquiring material for the library, because I'm purchasing, it is not meant to just leave the shelf and never return. This is about building a collection and supporting an intellectual community for years, decades to come. And knowing that you're a part of that, I think, is something that it helps to put things in perspective and to focus a bit more. That, you know, what you're doing is something, it's okay to take your time with things. And I understand what Tina's saying about a sense of urgency with certain things. But at the same time, too, one of the things that I found was important to adjust to in the culture of the library is being able to take your time and dig into an issue, because you do have time to do it. And it's important that you have time to do it. You know, you're not on the floor having to do 10 things with, you know, the power of two people, and it's got to be done perfectly. You've got the time to do it, and I really value that. At least, you know, this is my experience here compared to my experience. This is my own experience. Others might have different experiences at different institutions.
Did anyone have any issues with jargon or any, like, technical? Like, what was the kind of learning how our library systems work? How was your transition with the sort of nuts and bolts of the job?
I actually found the jargon aspect of it to be very interesting, something to continue learning about. It really helps to make the job dynamic and to keep learning what the different terms that are used. There's always more to learn about, you know, something like an authority record, a bibliographic record, you know, mark, bib frame. You know, the new developments are coming up, and you know, this is something that we're encouraged, you know, even those of us who don't have a library degree in our institutions, to look into. When you're working for a retail corporation, those things come down from corporate. You're expected to carry out what they say based on the new developments, but understanding them is not necessarily an expectation. So this was empowering. At any rate, I found that there were some things that could transfer over really easily, jargon-wise, like your catalog to your inventory, which a lot of businesses have an inventory. It's kind of like a catalog. So for that, you know, there's database management that's involved in retail. Certainly your inventory is a huge database, and, you know, you do have records for products. You have a history for products, those kinds of things, and movement. But, you know, that kind of translates over to circulation information. So some things do, like, I noticed translated really well, even just reading the job application. I could say, like, okay, I can see where some of these things are almost, you know, a real shoo-in. And so that was really helpful. I didn't have, personally, a very difficult time with that. I thought it went really, really well.
You're listening to Lost in the Stacks, and we'll be back with more from Tina Erickson, Jessica Glohm, and Max Mahler on the left side of the hour.
Hi, I'm Ashley Maynard, and I'm the librarian by day and filmmaker by night. And you're listening to Lost in the Stacks, WREK Atlanta.
Today's show is called Recruiting from Retail, and we're talking to three folks from the University of Chicago Library, which made a deliberate decision to update some of their staff job descriptions several years ago. This enabled them to recruit talented individuals who lacked library experience, but whose transferable skills positioned them for 21st century library work, and that is the century we're in. Our guest, Tina Erickson, along with her colleague, Philip Stefani, and their supervisor, Susan Martin, wrote about their staff recruitment redesign in the Library Leadership and Management Journal this past year. Part of the inspiration for their hiring redesign was a 2018 article in the Harvard Business Review entitled How to Hire. The article writer wrote, "Finding the right people is also not a matter of, quote, culture fit, unquote. What most people really mean when they say someone is a good fit culturally is that he or she is someone they'd like to have a beer with. But people with all sorts of personalities can be great at the job you need done. This misguided hiring strategy can also contribute to a company's lack of diversity, since very often the people we enjoy hanging out with have backgrounds much like our own. Making great hires is about recognizing great matches, and often they're not what you would expect." Now, they were also likewise inspired by chess grandmaster Garry Kasparov, who said, "Many people think that if something worked yesterday and is still working today, it will work tomorrow. That's wrong." I believe Garry Kasparov. I think of how, when I used to hang out with the people I liked to drink with, there were tomorrows when none of us could work, even when we worked yesterday and today. File this set under BJ1533.P3F53.
You just heard Dawned on Me by Wilco from Chicago. Before that, Time is on My Side by the Rolling Stones, R.I.P. Charlie Watts. Those were songs about taking time and being rewarded with knowledge and insight.
It's ironic. Time was always on Charlie Watts' side.
In this case, it was three-quarter time. Welcome back to Lost in the Stacks. Today, we're speaking with Tina Erickson, Jessica Glohm, and Max Mahler from the University of Chicago Library. As we rounded out our conversation, we were amused to learn that retail work requires certain social skills that our guests have not had much opportunity to use in the library.
Is the socializing, is that a survival skill when you're in retail that's less necessary in an academic library?
Oh, probably. I would imagine that it probably is. When you're in retail, and especially in the food service industry, you are really at the mercy of, you know, customers. And you know, whatever happens that day, I mean, you could have, you know, somebody call off and all of a sudden you're understaffed, and then you have to completely rearrange, well, how is this team going to function and where am I going to put this person? Or, you know, maybe your order doesn't come on time, or they forget to send you coffee and you're on a college campus and all of a sudden everyone wants coffee. So what do you do? And so I think that, you know, I feel like there's always some fire that needs to be put out when you're working in retail. You have got to learn to work together, and you've got to do it every single day. on every single shift. And so it really does require that kind of level of trust between the people that you work with, and as well as just physical proximity. And the library is luckily is not like that. We have our own types of fires that need to be sometimes, but it isn't as claustrophobic. That is actually one of the more enjoyable aspects of working in retail, is like when there's a big rush and you've got your team and everybody's working together is actually a very good feeling. It's not something that you get always in the library, but having that space and that room to breathe is also very gratifying, you know, and it's something that you don't get in retail, that I think is very attractive to people that are maybe looking to switch industries. And I think that, you know, it's possibly even more so now. You know, I know we haven't really talked about like the big elephant in the room with COVID. And, you know, you look at people who are working in retail and there are frontline workers, they're essential workers. And, you know, they, you know, when we say that, like, we're all in this together, like, they're really all in it together. And there is definitely a huge difference between that kind of sense of camaraderie between workers in retail and here in the library, because we can do a lot of our work independently. But I think that kind of trust that needs to be built between staff members and between coworkers still exists, but it does definitely manifest differently.
Did any of you get really dramatic advice one way or another from your retail side colleagues about going or not going into libraries?
I did, because my former coworkers in retail knew that I had come out of the same university that I was moving back to. They were really like, well, are you actually going to be happy going back to the university? And I said, well, you know, my most positive experience when I was a student here was actually at the library. I think that we have, you know, a really, you know, for our users, I would like to hope that they also, you know, come away from this place, whether they ever return or not, with a very positive experience as users of the library. And I certainly did. And so that was something that I really didn't have any doubts about at all. But there was a little bit of skepticism there of like, well, you just left there and I know you're going to go back. So, why is this different experience was before? But I do think, you know, meeting, you know, Jessica actually sat in on my interview with our former head of acquisitions, and, you know, the way in which we were able to communicate with each other and that there is this kind of shared sense of understanding of what I was coming out of and potentially walking into was really there. And so, so that was definitely a comfort. But yeah, there are some people that were a little confused by that.
I didn't encounter any real warnings about working in the library. It's interesting what Tina said about having people look at it as the same but different from an academic kind of trajectory. But more often than not, in my experience, I would hear from people, whether they're PhD students or people who spent time in school and spent time in retail, that they really were excited for me and that there's this kind of romance about working in a library that appeals to a lot of people. I mean, I can't tell you how I haven't heard of very many Dewey Decimal jokes, unfortunately. I wish I knew some good ones. But I have heard many times people tell me, oh, you know, you're so lucky, my dream job is to work in a library. And people say that all the time. And I think it's because you get to have so much fascinating stuff pass through your hands, and it's your job. I don't know that every minute of the library worker experience is the romance that people make it out to be all the time, but it certainly is a great lifestyle. And it's one way also, if you're a certain kind of person who is interested in academic life, but also wants to hold down a different kind of job and sort of keep one foot in, one foot out of that world, there's really no better way to do it. And everybody I know who's had who's spent any time in academia has said to me, well, being in the library is the best part of it, and you get to do that all the time. Lucky you.
Well, my background is different than Tina and Max's. I didn't come from an academic background. I had been out of any academic environment for over 5 years before making the transition back. I never, left, a love of knowledge of books, of current events, of wanting to know the deeper meaning behind what was going on in the world. And so I think that, that's what eventually led me back. Things started to get to a point where I said, I'd like to devote my life, to knowledge and information and getting it to people. I felt like it was something meaningful and aligned with my values. And I there wasn't like a big announcement or, folks at my, job that I left to knew what I was looking for or not looking for, but they understood that it was the type of environment that I needed to be in and would thrive in. And I think, just there was a lot of support for moving on. And I think that it was overall, it was a positive transition. People in the community, no matter where their walk of life is, really appreciate libraries and what they bring. And, you can go anywhere, and if you tell somebody that you're working at a library or from a library or even a university, there's a sense of real gratitude, I think, from the general public for what is provided.
Our guests today are Tina Erickson, Jessica Gloom, and Max Mahler from the University of Chicago Library. Tina is co-author of the article, Redesigning Staff Recruitment for the 21st Century, a case study from the University of Chicago Library, published in Library Leadership and Management in 2020. Tina, Jessica, and Max all presented at the 2020 Alex Lita Lama Exchange Virtual Conference in a session entitled Recruiting for Retail.
Marley, would you please say the name of that conference again? I just like hearing it.
Alex Lita Lama Exchange.
Trips off the tongue, doesn't it? File this set under HF531.D45.
You just heard Shining Star by Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yeah, you did. And before that, Wrapped Up in Books by Belle and Sebastian. Those were songs about appreciating the value of people and information. Our show today is called Recruiting from Retail. And as we finish up, I have a question for you two. What did you do before you got your first library job? And what's a skill you learned in that job that you continue to use in your library work today? And I will not accept I don't know as an answer.
But one job that I had as a high schooler was a cashier at a sort of a Walmart type place called Farmore. And on Sundays, for whatever reason, Farmore was overrun with the public. It was the day to go to Farmore. And so as a cashier, I was swamped, and there would be people that came in and would try to do things like change a bill. And as I'm in the process of changing it, they would try to change it again. And in the process, they would try to acquire more money than they started out with. That happened more than once. And this is in the middle of people shouting, looking for things that are on sale, saying that I'm not going fast enough. There are all kinds of time problems. I learned not to panic. No matter what was going on, I was not going to die if I just slowed things down and kept control of myself and the situation. So that's what I learned then that I still think about now.
Well, I don't have retail experience, but I do have restaurant experience, and I learned to juggle many things happening at the same time, and I still use that skill today.
My last job before I worked at a library was at a bookstore. So, of course, I learned nothing there that I use now. Roll the credits.
Lost in the Stacks is a collaboration between WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library, written and produced by Amit Doshi, Charlie Bennett, Fred Rasko, Marley Gibbons, and Wendy Hagenmeyer.
Today's show was edited and assembled with the assistance of a pot of coffee by Fred.
Just one pot, legal counsel, and a hook upon which to hang the keys to the kingdom were provided by the Burris Intellectual Property Law Group in Atlanta, Georgia.
Special thanks to Tina, Jessica, and Max for being on the show. And thanks, as always, to each and every one of you for listening.
Find us online at lostinthestacks.org, and you can subscribe to our podcast pretty much anywhere you get your audio fix.
Next week's show is, well, it's going to be an unpleasant surprise. I may just bust out crying.
It's going to be ugly all over, Charlie. Time for our last song today. Any library acquisitions department, and probably every other library department, is undergoing stress due to multiple factors, leading to burnout and turnover. So here's hoping for arriving at a future that is more diverse and sustainable. This is I'll Take You There by the Staples Singers from Chicago. Have a great weekend, everybody.